CBS, Eye on the World, Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself of the Space Show, is here with my colleague, as my colleague and co-host. And we are looking at the joy of the return sample from asteroid Ryugu, which is classified as a near-Earth object, potentially hazardous, discovered in 1989. However, what is important is what we're learning from Ryugu generously with the sample mission called Hayabusa 2. And to help us understand what the sample contains, these headlines, we welcome Professor Harold Connolly of Rowan University, the founding chair and professor in the Department of Geology. He is the co-investigator on Hayabusa 2's Ryugu sample. He is also mission sample scientist on the pending OSIRIS-REx return from another asteroid. Right now, we're interested in the sample collected from Ryugu. Professor, it's a joy to return to this conversation because you're learning more and more thanks to the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, JAXA, and the successful return in December of 2020 of the sample from Hayabusa 2. First, what is it that you were surprised about in these results, Professor? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you. And once again, thank you very much for having me back on your program. I really enjoy talking with both of you, and I'm sure your audience really loves hearing these exciting results that are coming out of the Hayabusa 2 mission about asteroid Ryugu. And we had made some predictions about what the sample would be like, but of course, exploration in space always surprises you, and quite often in a good way. So the fact that this sample is what we would consider to be in science heavily aqueously altered, meaning the original minerals went through a geologic process of reacting with hot fluid in a previous generation of this asteroid, which converted the minerals to clay minerals, and the level at which that was done geologically, the beauty of the samples, the perfect crystals that are there, was really a wonderful, delightful surprise. And of course, so are the organics that we've seen recently being published just in a week or so ago from the team, meaning the abundance of the different organics.
Yes, organics. Now, that's an ambiguous word. It's extremely controversial when you misuse it. The headline reads, asteroid Ryugu is rich in organic molecules that can be the building blocks of life. I'm being careful here, but this is from space.com, and they're careful journalists. What does organic molecules mean to you, Professor? How do we understand them?
Right, that's a great question. And one of the most fundamental questions, of course, in all science, if not religion and philosophy, is the origin of life. And we understand the basic components, such as amino acids, that are required in order for life to have evolved or arisen. And these the meteorites we've had on Earth for years contain various kinds of organic compounds, prebiotic compounds, those which are known to be the building blocks of life. And now we know from asteroid Ryugu, they also contain the same kinds of compounds. But in the case of Ryugu, it's really pristine. Meteorites react with the Earth's atmosphere very, very quickly, and we are searching for things that are different than what we see in meteorites. And of course, the main scientific gap is linking the compounds from which life needs to exist and actually getting life. There is a gap of how that happens, which we do not yet understand. But we're continuing to build our database through sample return missions from space.
David, you have a question.
Yes, I'm curious. When you open up the sample and it's now exposed to Earth's atmosphere, does that do anything instantly or quickly to what you're evaluating? And do you have to compensate in your evaluation for Earth's atmospheric exposure to the sample?
Yeah, David, that's spot on in that question. That is an outstanding question. In fact, when the sample returned from asteroid Ryugu by Hayabusa 2, it went in a curation facility in a nitrogen environment for 6 months while it was processed and then released to investigators I lived in Japan in the summer of 21 when the investigation of the sample began. And quickly we noticed that the sample was beginning to change. It was absorbing water. And, of course, being in space for 4.5 billion years and in a very dry environment and 40 degrees centigrade as the surface is during nighttime or so, the sample sucks up atmospheric water really quickly. And that is a major lesson learned for us and OSIRIS-REx with Bennu samples, is that all samples will be stored very, very quickly in nitrogen, even in laboratories when they're not being analyzed. We'll store them in nitrogen to help preserve them more, because some equipment, you can't use nitrogen in the equipment to analyze it. So there will be some atmospheric exposure, minimized, of course. But we learned very quickly that the minerals are beginning to change when they're reacting with atmospheric water, for example.
Professor, I learned from space.com that Ryugu sample does not have or did not have sufficient quantity for the detection of components of DNA and RNA that have been found in other carbon-rich asteroids, carbonaceous chondrites. Is there an understanding of why that's true? Is this a specially old asteroid?
I'm not sure I follow your question, actually.
Were there sugars and components of DNA and RNA in the sample that you expected, or was there an insufficient amount?
So there is, they are present. Further research will be able to tell us exactly to the extent that they are present. But yes, and that's part of what we'll do with the OSIRIS-REx mission too, is make those kinds of analysis and look at sugars, for example, and compare them to what our outstanding colleagues in Japan have found for the Ryugu sample. So that's going to be part of the base, which we then compare to meteorites. And remember, meteorites get altered very quickly being on Earth. And our Japanese colleagues took great care to also preserve the sample as much as possible from reaction with the atmosphere.
David, you have a question.
So some of the articles talk about Ryugu and other items like this depositing organics or amino acids and helping to form life here on Earth. So short of crashing into Earth, how are these asteroids depositing amino acids onto Earth?
Well, that would be the way they do it. They have to interact. They have to come to Earth. So either the particles that are in dust trails, for example, that get as the asteroids move through the inner solar system, that dust gets also encounters Earth and gets into the atmosphere, and some of it survives coming down through the atmosphere, believe it or not. Others are larger pieces, larger chunks of asteroids, you know, what we have as meteorites. And still, one of the things we learned from Ryugu is it may be so fragile that a lot of the material that we would expect to find doesn't survive Earth's atmosphere. So it's a complicated game of variables that we have to look at. And Earth is constantly having dust rain down on it from outer space. Comet trails as well that the Earth passes through, et cetera. So there's a lot of stuff out in space that comes to Earth.
There are other asteroids. Well, there's another famous asteroid sample about to come back. And I'm struck by how you're learning more and more from these samples. Is this changing dramatically the field of study of asteroid, or has it always gotten this level of attention and I was not reading the right articles?
No, you are correct, sir. It is changing the way we think about the early solar system and, of course, exploration of the solar system. We're really living in kind of a platinum. Some people say golden, but I say platinum age of space exploration, because we're bringing back samples and really understanding the composition of material. And something we talked about years ago was the hazard of impact of asteroids. The better way to predict whether or not they will strike Earth at a specific time period, these asteroids, is to know their composition. We have to know something more about their composition than we do now, and that's critical.
David, you have a question.
Refresh our memory. Why was Ryugu chosen for a sample return mission? What did scientists know back then that targeted it as the place to go get a sample?
Yeah, great question again. And it's actually the similar answer for Bennu. So they're both in the same matrix, that we needed to get to an asteroid that was relatively close, its orbit was something that could be achieved in a relatively, let's say, simple fashion, which means also expense-wise. And we were looking for carbonaceous asteroids because we know the carbonaceous chondrites are rich in these various organic compounds that we talked about before and other volatiles such as water-rich minerals. And these two asteroids, Bennu and Ryugu, both came to the top of the list. And it was a sort of a friendly kind of relationship between the United States and Japan. The U.S. picked Bennu first, and then Japan picked Ryugu, which was originally kind of the OSIRIS-REx backup asteroid until JAXA decided it was going to go to it. So it's a great story.
So what we have is two asteroids that both describe the earliest parts of our solar system. Is that correct, Professor?
Correct. They're absolutely time capsules from 4.567 billion years. Plus, they have accumulated knowledge of the solar system as it has migrated through the solar system all that time period.
Professor Harold Connolly, the founding chair and professor of Department of Geology at Rowan University, he is at the same time the co-investigator of Hayabusa 2's return sample of Ryugu and the mission sample scientist on OSIRIS-REx returning a sample from asteroid Bennu. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Bashton.